tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Brother Brandon, he has been teaching through this, and I appreciate teaching. Amen. Thank God for it. You learn things about God's Word. You learn things about doctrine. You learn what God's saying in His Word. Amen. Chapter 13, I'm just going to read one verse for sake of reading. We could read the whole chapter, and I'll be trying to preach through this chapter, but verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, is God's great charity. God's great charity. Charity, the word that God uses for charity, and I think why that it wasn't used maybe in the word love in our English language in this instance is we look at the word love and it's hard for us to understand what is meant because of the way we view love. And God's love is so different than our love. We view love in a earthly way, in a fleshly way, in a lot of times in a worldly way. But to understand this great love, that God's love, He used the word charity is agape. It is God's love. It is an eternal love. It's a divine love. It is the love that God so loved the world. It's different than you love your husband or love your wife. It's far greater than that. The characteristics of our love and God's love is different. The action of our love and God's love is different. Our love saves our children. His love gave His Son. You see the difference? And so as I was looking here in this chapter, and I want to just start this as an introduction. Paul starts out and says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And He did speak. He said, though I speak, as if he's saying, I do speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And I'm not here to debate all what that means this morning, but it must be something different than the tongues of men, the tongue of angels. And so the tongues, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So I want to say that God's love is greater than all the tongues of men or angels together. Are you listening to what I mean? A man could have those gifts, and the gift of God's love is far greater. Can you imagine being able to speak with the tongues of of all men and the tongues of angels. God's love is a greater gift than that. Now, I think that's what Paul is showing us in this chapter. He said, because if I have not this love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm become like an instrument that is just being banged on. Tongues of men and angels is really no meaning. It has no character to it. It has no worth to it. If I don't have love, if I could speak to all men and I don't have God's love, what is that? If I could speak with the tongue of angels and if I don't have God's love, what good is that? If he could make a salutation like Gabriel, are you listening to me? If he could come to like an angel did to Daniel, or the angel of the Lord did to Joshua, and speak in such a way, if he didn't have love, what good would it be? Love is far greater than that. Though I have the gift. See, you notice how he says that? Though I speak. And though I have the gift of prophecy. He did. The gift of prophecy. And understand all mysteries. All mysteries. Is there any mysteries that you don't know about? There's mysteries in this world. I don't have the faintest idea what the answer is. There's mysteries in the kingdom of heaven. Are you listening to me? And in the principalities and the powers of the air that is above my understanding, above my comprehension, these great mysteries. And Paul said, if I had all knowledge, and though I have all faith, look what he uses. You've not heard this since it came out of the words of our Savior in the Gospels. So that I could remove mountains. Jesus was the only one that ever said that. He said, if you had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it could be done. Paul said, if I had all faith so that I could remove mountains, like the Lord said, and have not charity, I am nothing. God's love is greater than having, listen, it's a greater gift than having all faith, than having all knowledge, than having known all mysteries. And if you know all those things, if a man collects the wisdom of this world and the world to come and has not this love, he is nothing. That's what Paul's saying. Think of how great this love is. I'm not talking about, a little bit of sugar love between a fella and his honey. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm talking about the greatest love that man could ever possibly hope to comprehend about. God's love. The agape. That God from the foundation of the world loved man before he created him. That God so loved man, he was willing to come and die in his place to redeem him out of sin. The thing that God hates the most, despises, listen, God Almighty, for sin to even come into the presence of God is unthinkable. Yet he took it upon himself in a body his son, are you listening to me, and nailed it to his cross. That's love beyond mine and your comprehension. But we could have all these things. The power, again, to remove mountains and have not love. See, if you miss God's love. And I want to tell you something about God's love. God's love is not something that you and I can work up. The love that you and I know is an affection that we naturally have. And it comes from us. I mean, it's natural that a mother loves her children. It's unnatural when they don't. It's natural when a man loves a woman. And it's unnatural when he doesn't. Are you hearing me? There's a natural love. I mean, it's just there that comes from us. But this love is supernatural. It's not natural. This is not something that you and I were born with. We were born without this love. We don't comprehend that love. We don't have that love within us. This love comes with the new birth. This love God puts within us. This love is what separates you and I from all other sinners. This love is what makes me and you a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is how we know that we're a new creature, when we know we have this kind of love. This love that's beyond the love we were born with. And Paul said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's a natural love. Now you take somebody, they could get real greedy as they grow, and that would kind of wean away from them. They wouldn't have that love to feed all the poor. But it's a natural thing. You see somebody that's hungry to want to help them. You see somebody poor. And Paul said, if I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. In other words, if I gave my body a living sacrifice, literally put it upon the altar of God like a sacrifice is. If I gave my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Wait a minute. I thought if I put my body, that'd prove that I love God. That's a different kind of love than this love. Listen, our love thinks that it must prove. We must prove by helping the poor, by giving our body to some way. We are doing something to, in other words, we're trying to project our love onto someone else or back to God. But listen, it profits us nothing if we don't have God's love. You can go through this whole life thinking you've got a lot of love to give, and it's not the right kind of love. It's not agape love. It's not the love that God puts in a soul upon your salvation, upon your new birth. That love, I've preached it many times, it makes you love God's Word. It makes you love God's people in a way you've never loved them. It makes you love the house of God, the things of God. You've got a love in you now that you never had before. I can't explain it. But I know God put a love in me that I never had before. I know who I was. Are you listening to me? I didn't do very good on the earthly love scale. Are you listening to me? I know who I was. I know what kind of a sinner that I was. And I know that the love that God put in me, it had to been Him put it in there. I've never had this love before. Can you say that? I have never had this love before. This love that changed my life. This love that ever changes my life. Paul tries to, define it. And love, I think I've said this before, love is defined by what it does. We think it's what it is. But Paul goes on to find for what it does. In verse 4, he said, charity suffereth long. Charity suffereth long. It's in no hurry. In verse 4 and verse 7, look at verse 7. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. That's a long-suffering love. Earthly love. You know what earthly love does? Earthly love gets hurt and cuts you off. A lot of time, it doesn't have that bearing very long. Are you listening to me? No, it's offended. Our love is offended. Our love is offended. But this love, it suffereth long and is kind. Our love can bring out malice and envy and strife. But this one is kind. Charity envieth not. Not this kind of love. It envieth not. You seeing what God's saying here? You see how different that God's love is? Doth not behave itself unseemly. People that say they love one another down here are some of the most unseemly people you've ever seen in your life. They say that's their love. The world says that's their love. But God's love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Oh yes, you know our love is jealous, very jealous. And it wants what it wants. Amen. This is my heart that's giving love or that is breaking because of love. It seeketh not her own. No, our love does seek its own. It's very protective of itself. But not God's love. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Earthly love is always, it seems as though, thinking evil. I know there's different mannerisms that comes out of love, but listen, evil is a part of it. Because it comes from a man's heart, and a man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so, the kindness that he said, that his love is kind. Verse number 4. That's the action of God's love. Kindness. Kindness. The patience of God's love. The kindness of God's love. The generosity. One writer said that generosity, it says envious. It's not envious or jealous in verse number 4. That is... the competition of God's love. There is no competition. God's not trying to compete with any other love. He gives His love freely and says, love me freely. Love me because you want to love me, not because I'm trying to compete with another God. But down here, that's exactly the way it is. Amen? You've got little boys and girls, they can't make up their mind who they're going to love. Love, their love is a competition. Amen? It's not devoted. It's God's is does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Paul started out, though I have, you know, the gift of prophecy and have all knowledge, and have know all mysteries and have all faith, all the things that a man could accumulate. Well, love endures all things. Everything. Everything that a man could possibly try to accumulate, God's love endures past them all. The context is love. Verse 8, charity never faileth. Earthly love fails. People will love one day and not love the next. They'll love for so many years and then that love grows cold. But God's love never fails. Never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They'll come to an end. They'll be fulfilled. You see, that word fail doesn't necessarily mean it didn't happen. It means it came to its point, fulfilled its purpose, came to pass, and now it's no more. And that's the way earthly love is. Sometimes it's just good for a season. But God's love, charity, never faileth. Where they be prophecies, they shall fail. Where they be tongues, they shall cease. When we get to heaven, do you think everybody's going to be speaking English and German and French and Spanish and Zimbabwe and all kinds of other languages? No. They will cease. But charity won't fail. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We will come to a completion of knowledge. We will come to a full maturity. That's what that's talking about. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now remember, all this is in the context of love. I think a lot of people have, even me for a while, missed what we thought that verse was talking about. In the context, he's talking about love, he's talking about what endures, what fails, and what doesn't. He's talking about the knowledge that we have. Talking about how that we prophesy in part now, but that which is perfect is come. That full maturity. Then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul gives an example. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, full grown, I put away childish things. When you and I get to heaven, listen, what do you think we're going to need? The things that we have right now? We're going to have, listen, the Bible says that in the ages to come, He might show unto us, to reveal to us the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. Right now, even with this book, we're looking through a glass darkly. And I say that reverently. Thank God for God's Word. It's the only light that you and I, amen, could have. But even with this, there's still those mysteries. There's still knowledge that it's going to take ages to come for Him to show us the exceeding riches of His grace. To do what? To bring you and I to full maturity. From children to a man. And Paul even talked about the whole church growing unto a perfect man. He was hoping us here could mature together unto a mature, perfect man. One body, many members. Do you remember that? Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. So here Paul says, now I know in part. So see, back in verse number 1 and 2, Paul wasn't declaring, I know it all. I have nothing more to learn. He was saying, if I did. Because his confession is, now I know in part. I don't have all knowledge. When he said, though I have all knowledge, understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. As far as I know, Paul never moved a mountain. He's saying, if. His confession is, now I know in part. Paul had made the statement in one of his epistles. He had not arrived. He had not come to that full maturity. But then shall I know even as also I am known. So then, face to face, we will see and we will not know in part anymore. Then shall I know even also as also I am known. Most people believe that that's Paul in inspiration saying, when we get there, you'll know me, even though I'm in a new body, even though I have a maturity, I'm like Christ, you'll know that I was Paul. He'll have a new name. You'll have a new name. Did you know that? We'll have a new wardrobe. You say, it's all that matter? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I have known people, being in the ministry 35 years, that only recognized me when I was in a suit. I went knocking on somebody's house one time back when I was at the other church, and just showed up in my blue jeans and a button-up shirt and a ball cap and shades, and they're like, "Who are you?" You know, so with a lot changing, you'd think we may not recognize one another being as glorious as we've ever been. You're used to looking at me and my eyes crooked, and are you listening to me? One nostril bigger than the other, one ear sticking out and the other an end. We have, but when we get up there, perfect. But we'll know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Now abideth. Faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And I, listen, charity is going to abide. God's love is going to be something that will continue. God is love. That's one of His characteristics of who He is. He is love. Not the love you and I think of. His love. And it says, and now abideth. These are things, faith, right now, we have it and we'll have it and we'll have it and we'll have it. Hope, we have it and have it and have it. And this love God puts in us. It looks to me like one day our faith's going to end in sight. We're not going to need that faith anymore. Our hope. Right now, we're looking for that blessed hope. He tells us to hope to the end. Well, what happens at the end? We see the hope. Do we need that hope after that? Why hope for something that you have, that you see? He said, if you have it, why do you hope for it? But love, God's charity, it will endure. The greatest of these is charity. I think Brother Brandon may have said it, in all the things people they want these gifts and it. Let them find God's love. That it's greater than all the gifts combined. God's love. It is the love, listen, that causes you and I to obey Him. We love Him because He loved us. We now have that reciprocating love because He put it within us. Something we never had before. And the love that He had that sacrificed Himself for us, that same love helps you and I to want to walk and to please God. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You can only do that if you love Him. If you love me. Isn't that what He said? Keep my commandments. If you have charity, keep my commandments. Some people struggle doing that, struggle all their life. They don't have it within them. You get God's love in you, you'll have it in you. No, you're not. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. No, I'm not saying that. But you'll strive to be. You will strive to be. Why? Because you've got a love that compels you. It constrains you. Amen. I want you to stand this morning.